Responsibility at the end of the day is really taking health into your own hands. Paul has this amazing quote, "Sooner or later, health will be your number one concern." When I really look back at all of the clients that I've had, it's a tricky one, isn't it? It's like, I think the people put a certain amount of trust into these corporations and go and shop at the Coles and the, I mean, I know I see you at the farmers markets most weekends and things like that. But if you think of the average person, I think most people are just unaware. Just actually unaware.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast, the show that helps crack open your heart and inspire a deeper regard for your own well-being and happiness. Proudly brought to you by 28 Essentials. Here's your host, the gorgeous Kim Morrison.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast. This week we have an incredible soul, someone who I'm really excited to share with you. Now, what is so powerful about this human is all the different things he's done in his life and what's led him into doing the work that he's doing today. Pete Klarisic is a Czech practitioner. He studied various modalities, movements, and practices, and he also has been a yoga teacher, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and is also trained in what's known as anatomy trains. His journey started with his studies and exploration of the ancient healings and teachings within the shamanic plant medicine and the practice of yoga. And before that, by the way, he was an electrician, which I find fascinating because when you look at the modality of what it is in the body and trusting things like the fascia and understanding how the human body works, well, I guess, as he says in the podcast, it's all about problem solving, just like electrical workers. But it was in the spaces of the shamanic plant medicine and practice of yoga that he discovered the complexity of the human being and the untapped potential of our innate capabilities. This was pivotal in enhancing his awareness of health, which always starts within. After a number of years in his 20s of traveling the world, Pete was introduced to the work of Paul Check, which offered a truly unique and holistic approach to health. For those of you that know, the Czech system integrates high-performance conditioning, holistic wellness, and stress management. Once he began integrating these techniques, he himself experienced massive shifts along with inner and outer transformation. You are so going to love his interview today. His mission is to utilize his unique body of knowledge to transform lives, improve lifespans, and here's the key, impact generations to come. I know you're going to love today. You may want to take out a pen and paper or listen to this one. There's a lot of beautiful quotes, a lot of wonderful teachings and learnings. And I know you're just going to love hearing where this man comes from with a massive heart and love of what it means to truly live a fantastic life. Cannot wait for your thoughts, feelings, and comments. Please follow those or give those on my Instagram page, Kim Morrison and the number 28. You can go to my Facebook page, Kim Morrison Training. You can also head on over to thewellnesscouch.com/selflovepodcast. I also love hearing from you on my Instagram, my website page, which is kimmorrison.com. And I really want to acknowledge the beautiful 28 Essentials for sponsoring this show, 28.com. That's the word 20 and the number 8.com. You can get all your beautiful self-care tools right there on that platform. Thank you so much for tuning in, for your 5-star rating. It helps me to get more beautiful souls like Pete out into the world. And I thank you wholeheartedly for being on the Self Love Podcast ride with me. Take care. Be kind. Well, as many of you know, one of my favorite things each week to do is to interview amazing souls, people who have a story, a beautiful business, a service, or something that's just, in my opinion, very, very innovative and also guiding light for many of us who are looking for ways to live our best life. And this week, I'm delighted and excited to welcome to the show, gorgeous Peter Klarisic. Thank you so much for joining us on the Self Love Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's such a treat to have someone like you. I mean, for the listener, just so that you know, I'm actually having sessions with the gorgeous Peter at the moment to support me with a little bit of a lower back issue. And as we've been doing these sessions, I came to understand just what a delightful human you are. Maybe for those that don't know what you're about or what you do, could you take us on a little journey, maybe back to where you grew up, what led you down this beautiful path of understanding the biomechanics and the physiology, the makeup of the human body? Could you take us on a journey as what to lead you to being and doing what you do now?
Yeah, I actually think for me, it started quite young. I remember when I was about 13, 14, like, you know, being a kid, you're running around, you're kicking the soccer ball, you've got plenty of friends around, and you just essentially, like, that curiosity from a young age always took me into, I think, like, that understanding as I got older that maybe there was something within the body that I wanted to explore and go into. So I finished my apprenticeship. I was actually an electrician from 17 to 21. And after I finished my apprenticeship, I thought, what do I actually want to do with my life? I was a little bit stuck and unsure, didn't know really like where to take things. So I actually went and traveled pretty extensively throughout the world throughout my 20s, come home and then seen some friends online that were doing these amazing things, working with people, talking about these foundation principles, thinking and breathing and movement, hydration, nutrition, and sleep, and just gave me this, I guess you'd say, like, overarching picture of each individual. And for whatever reason, I was really drawn to that. So that's really where the journey started for me. I think I must have been about 12 or 13 with just an innate, like, curiosity with the body. And then I sort of left that curiosity for quite a number of the years and started to work with my hands and started to really dabble and explore with the various trades and then really come back full circle. I think I must have been about 26 when my curiosity really started again. And that's been the journey now for the last, I would say, 5 years.
Well, I think what's so extraordinary about this is even though you qualified as an electrician, and I'm interested in this because to be an electrician, you have to understand very clearly the complexities of where these wires go and what lines up with what in order to have the light or the power or whatever it is. It's a little bit like the neurological system where there are so many different routes and pathways and things to switch on and off. So I find that quite interesting that your background in electrician work and the body, I'm always curious around those sorts of things. When you think about it like that, is that just me going down a wild rabbit hole or is that something that is quite interesting to you?
Absolutely. Because I think what you hit the nail on there, Kim, was problem solving and it's your ability to problem solve and then problem solve under stress as well. To say hypothetically, if we circle all the way back to when I was electrician and you've got an old lady and the power goes out and she's got no one there to help her with her cooking, the same thing could be said for someone like you with low back pain. It's like, what are the problems that are currently being identified and what are you seeing in front of you? And then how I circle, I guess, that back to, I guess, some of my training. I'm what's called a Czech practitioner for those listening, which stands for Corrective Holistic Exercise Kinesiology. And it's really the study of the human being, the human development, and where we get stuck in any one of those six foundation principles that I spoke about earlier.
I think then when we look at the Czech principles, maybe we could just reiterate that again, those six foundations. Paul Czech's a pretty remarkable human. Did he create that name off his name or did he change his name or what?
No, he actually did. Yeah, I think from talking to faculty members, because I've now gone through the whole 3 years through the Czech Academy and planning on finishing years 4 and 5. So it ends up being this whole complete 5-year system. But to answer your question, yeah, I'm pretty sure because his last name's just Czech. So he essentially just went and studied under all of these different mentors all around the world, kinesiology for a little bit, studied the musculoskeletal system, the visceral system, fascia, and essentially come up with his own unique system with how to problem solve clients and what pain is actually telling you. And you know what's been remarkable for me? Like I couldn't actually tell you the amount of people that I've worked with now on a one-on-one basis. It would be a lot. I try and do about anywhere from 15 to 20 clients a week, that's where my bucket's full. And you start to see these different types of problems. But then what's beautiful about having a system is you can refer back to the system. So out of all the clients that I've seen, it It actually always generally comes back to one of those foundations that I spoke about before. So we have three yang characteristics, which are thinking, breathing, and movement, and three yin characteristics, which are hydration, nutrition, and sleep. And my understanding from working with people is almost all pain derives from one of those six foundation principles.
Wow, it's fascinating, really. What I love about this is that we do cover off all realms of what it means to be human. And I guess each one of those six foundations could be taken into quite a spiritual realm or even a physical realm. Could you tell us then, if we're looking at the yang side of things, the thinking, breathing, and was it movement?
Yeah, that's right.
Movement. So that's very, when we say yang, very masculine. Talk to us a little bit about why those three are the yang principles or the yang foundations.
So if you really think about it, and isn't that funny? Thinking is energy out. It requires energy. So it requires us to bring nutrients into the body to actually problem solve and think. Say hypothetically, like if we circle back to my 20 plus clients a week, if I'm going and visiting them without nutrients that are coming into the body, my thoughts aren't going to be at their maximum capacity, like which they could be. Therefore, thinking it requires energy from our system. Breathing as well. So breathing is a foundation that actually sits second on top of the hierarchy. So if you imagine, we use what's called a totem pole with the psyche that really lives at the top, and under that is respiration. And so we generally teach people 3 minutes without the breath, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. So the hierarchy of control is breath, water, food. And then the other foundation is movement. So every individual needs the ability to push, pull, bend, lunge, twist, squat, and gait, which is our walking ability. And all of those characteristics, thinking, breathing, and movement, all require energy, and they require energy out of the body.
I love it. I love it. Talk to us then about the yin, the hydration, nutrition, and sleep.
Yeah. So if we really dissect them, so nutrition, like we spoke about before. So we think about, I teach people more so around the lines of like eating ancestrally. So depending on where your bloodline is from, say for me, for instance, like my family is from Croatia. So I think like, you know, I go visit Europe and I go see my family and we've got pigs on the spit and things like that. So plenty of meat, especially in the colder climates and things like that. So we try and teach people to eat according to their bloodline, essentially. And then when we tie into sleep, sleep's a really interesting one as well, because I try and if I'm honest, it's not that they rank in any order, but if we think of sleep, every single human being on the planet needs the ability to, I think it's only within, I think it's 0.5% need under 7 hours, and every other human being, so you could essentially say 99% of people out there require 8 hours of sleep. So the question that really circles back to me with that regard is, how many people out there are walking around in pain, not getting adequate sleep, not getting adequate nutrients, and then not sure what's wrong?
And then the hydration.
And then the hydration as well. Yeah. Exactly. Like our body's made of water on a molecular level. We're 99.99% water. Like we know physiologically our body is 60 to 70% water. So this is where the type of water that we drink really matters. It's getting that pH level of between 6 to an 8. And every cell, every organ in our body, it all requires that. And when we don't get that 6 to an 8, our body becomes very acidic and our body actually doesn't know how to digest that water. So a really hot tip that I try and give clients is switch to a really good filter or switch to a really good company. Like on the Sunshine Coast, we have Montville Mist or Biwa Spring Water if you just go and fill up your jugs at Tanara or Greensmith Grocer. And it's really a way to hydrate the system, because at the end of the day, we're more water than we're not, hence the importance of it.
Oh, it makes such sense too. And it's so simple. When you actually look at it, it's easy for us to drink our 8 glasses of water a day. It's whether or not we choose to do that. And then, as you said, the quality of water. Just on that note, you're talking about Montville Mist and Biwa Springs. What if we weren't from here on the Sunshine Coast? What are we looking for if that's the case, if you're saying go and buy your water or fill up your water? Or is a reverse osmosis system on your whole house ideal? Like, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I actually think reverse osmosis is the way to go. It, like, for long term for people, the only way that I would compare the two is I don't ever believe that you can create a man-made system that can replicate what nature goes and does. So we spoke a little bit about that the other day. Like, say if you're not located on the Sunshine Coast, you can jump online and you can actually look to see where natural springs are close to you. And I'm pretty sure from reading up, it actually takes 100 years to form a spring. So if you imagine the waters going through the riverbeds and it's getting mineralized down the rocks and everything like that, it's going through life's natural process. When we think about something like tap water that has additives like chlorine, fluoride, chlorine, all of these other nasties, the body doesn't know how to assimilate that. So all of a sudden your liver's, if you're on tap water, is having to process all of the environment plus the tap water, plus all the spray on the food, where mine's not having to do that. And so from a pain perspective, wouldn't it be better while, wouldn't you be in a more optimal position to get rid of the spray from your food if it's possible, go and visit your farmer's market, go and visit your local farmer, go and get on some spray-free food, how we live for thousands of years, go and look for some clean water, go and move correctly, go and sleep correctly, learn to breathe correctly. So that's where you would come and see someone like me, and we do fascially opening up the breath and things like that. We get the thoughts on track. And once you do all of those things and you cover all of those six foundations, then you come back to your center, then you come back to yourself and you say to yourself, okay, what else needs fixing?
Yeah, it's really good. Because it actually gives you a map, doesn't it?
It does, because otherwise we're forever looking outside of ourselves. We're forever going to the next practitioner and the next therapist and this person, but we're doing things that we didn't do 100 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing of all. Anthropologically, in our development from our ancestral point of view, it was quite simple. Things have been complicated through, well, let me ask you, why do you think the world's got so complicated?
That's a big question, isn't it, Kim? Maybe population plays a big part of that. I mean, studies that come out say only 6% of the world, if they switch to organic, like, would that be possible? So maybe that's one side of it as well. I think as well, like, if we look at our parents and our grandparents, I think they lived much simpler lives than we did. And, you know, I mentioned before the podcast started, like, I'm about to go down and go into Brisbane and see some family down there. And it is, like, life's very action-packed. It's very stressful for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are time poor in today's day and age from working with people. Yeah, I mean, there's an array of reasons to think from there. Like, what do you think?
Well, I just think that somehow we have, well, I don't want to put a label on it, but I just feel like the greed, money, that these big corporations are more interested in money than they are our own health and wellness. And so I think what seems to have made life easier, i.e. packaged foods, things you can buy and put onto or into your body that just seem to make life easier, actually seem to have detrimental long-term effects. And I think that's where the simplicity of going back, even putting herbs into your own garden so that your hands get soil on them, making sure that we sleep well, using things like infrared saunas may be a beautiful additive to helping us detox these heavy metals and toxins that we do tend to carry. And it's often, I don't know if you're the same, but sadly, it's not often until we're actually faced with pain, trauma, disease, anything that's upset us or stopping us from living the life that we want to live, that we actually look at this. In your humble opinion, do you think then to prevent those long-term illnesses and diseases, long-term pain and all of that, if we looked at those six foundational areas, we're actually talking about longevity or health span as opposed to lifespan. What do you think? Is that to you perhaps making life more simple, getting away from believing in these big conglomerates that think they're looking after us when in fact they're poisoning us?
Absolutely, yeah. And responsibility at the end of the day is really taking health into your own hands. Paul has this amazing quote, sooner or later, health will be your number one concern. When I really look back at all of the clients that I've had, it's a tricky one, isn't it? It's like I think the people put a certain amount of trust into these corporations and go and shop at the Coles and the, I mean, I know I see you at the farmers markets most weekends and things like that. But if you think of the average person, I think most people are just unaware, just actually unaware. They don't actually realize that the water that they're drinking isn't the same water that was around 150 years ago. They don't realize that the food that they're eating has been sprayed with glyphosate, herbicides, fungicides, things that are just so unnatural to the body. I mean, you can really dive deeply into that, and you can, yeah.
It's a tricky funny one, isn't it?
It's a tricky
one. But then,
one.
You know how you're saying that most people are unaware? And I think many people are blindly aware.
Mm.
Like they're aware that there's stuff, but it's too much. It's another thing to think about. And, oh, it's not hurting me now. Does it really matter?
Mm.
I find there's a number of people who actually don't want to know. They feel like it's another thing on their list, or it just adds to the complexity or the hardness. And it seems to be that transition from the average way of thinking into deep health mind thinking. There's a lot of people that are floating around there and actually blindly not even wanting to be aware of it. Is that something you've noticed?
Absolutely. Yeah, because people are quite resistant to change. And that's really what it comes down to. Like when people come and see me and I attack those six foundation principles with the one that is at the highest priority, what I'm really asking of the client is to change. I'm asking a certain amount of aspect of what they've currently been doing isn't serving them anymore. And that particular part of them then has to change. And I think that's a difficult aspect for people. It's not the change itself. It's the who am I becoming? Like, what is required of me to make this change? Because change is hard.
Yes.
Like, we all know that, right? Change is so hard. And I think you hit a beautiful point on the head before. Like, people are blissfully unaware, just so blissfully unaware. And I don't know if it's because people aren't really willing to look at that. But for the clients that come and see me, I mean, you have to be willing to, because otherwise you're never really getting down to the root cause. And if you're not getting down to the root cause of what's driving the pain, then why are you going and paying all of these therapists? Why are you going and spending all this money on all of these practitioners? The question that comes to my mind for me there is, do they actually want the change? Is the pain great enough to warrant that?
I think for many people, and I'm just speaking about the general public with respect, probably not the people listening to this podcast, but generally speaking, they'd rather take a quick fix, over-the-counter medication, or just give me the smoothie, or give me the, I don't know, do it for me kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think the world is so exhausted. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's the do it for me as well that doesn't necessarily make sense, because no one is going to come and save you. You know, and that's a hard realization. I think every individual on the planet needs to stop and realize, like, no one's going to come and save you, and life is really asking you to step up and step into that.
Yeah.
And if you really truly want the results and you want the gold on the other side of that, then that's what the universe is really requiring of you.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, because I get it. People are also financially, mentally, emotionally, intellectually stressed and challenged enough in jobs, families, relationships, trying to do the everyday. It's almost like we're on this mad treadmill that the only way we get off it is through massive pain or massive disease or massive interventions that actually stop us in our tracks. Do you, advocate meditation, breath work, obviously taking time for yourself where you actually get to journal? Like, how do we help these beautiful souls get back in touch with it before health becomes a massive concern?
Yeah, that's beautiful. So making time for unstructured play each day, I think, is so important. I generally work within the four doctors when I'm working with people. So we have what's called Dr. Happy, which I would call like the chief executive. So find things in life that make you happy. You know, what do you do with Dr. Quiet? So Dr. Quiet might be meditation. It might be yin yoga. It might be time in nature, walking on the beach, patting your dog, you know, things that really bring energy back into the body. And then we've got Dr. Diet and Dr. Movement. So whole foods, like we've just been talking about that most of the podcast, like getting back to nature. Yeah. Getting back to the way that we live for thousands of years and moving adequately as well and moving correctly. As human beings right now in today's day and age, it's 2024, we sit more than ever. And that drives so much of our pain because we're not designed, we're movers by nature. The latest Peter Attia's study that come out, he mentioned it the other day on the podcast that we need 5 hours of movement a day. So if you, and I don't mean gym, I don't mean lifting weights, I don't mean going for a run, I just mean 5 hours of movement, moving your body for 5 hours a day. So what does that necessarily say then about all of the people that are working for 8 hours in a cubicle that are completely unhappy and have really driven themselves in that corner in their life and they're stuck and they don't know what to do?
It's a sad kind of state of affairs, really, when we look at it. And this is where I think corporate health and wellness and people that are mindful of this at the top levels will bring people like you or myself in, where we get to educate these beautiful souls on how to take care of themselves under the artificial light in the boxed rooms and also sitting for so long. I really love this. I'd love to move into a little bit of an area, though, that you specialize in, and that's all to do with the myofascia. Could you talk to us about why that's become such an important part of your work and why you think that the fascia that's in our bodies, maybe explain what it is, why you love it, and then how you work with it?
Oh, the fascia, of course. So I'm much more of a mental emotional guy, and people that come and work with me, I think, like they feel that within the first few sessions. Fascia holds memory and it holds information and it holds our stories. It holds our life experiences. So when people come in and see me, and if I'm just prescribing them exercises without actually ever diving into the fascia and manipulating the fascia with my hands through manual therapy techniques, then once again, I'm never really actually getting down to the core of what's driving the person's pain. To loop that all the way back, I'm qualified through anatomy train, so I'm qualified to do three series. Fascia is the overlying, if you imagine like sticky stuff, it's the cobweb that runs across the body. And it's the film that lives under the skin, but on top of the muscle. And our brain actually has, I think from memory, 6 times the amount of proprioception towards fascia than it does towards any muscle. So what does that say from a sensory point of view? Because I don't believe the body makes mistakes, I don't believe the brain would have such a neurological understanding of how the fascia interacts with the rest of the body from a physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional point of view, unless it was quite important. So the medical realm has only really started to dive into fascia in the last sort of 15, 20 years. And, you know, if I'm in my truth, I have had some absolutely amazing results working with my hands with people. And for me, with all of the check work that I was doing before my anatomy trains work, this was the missing link. It was manual hands-on therapy. It was the ability to touch and feel.
I think this is where, well, from my experience receiving your treatments, what I love about it is that I feel like my whole body is integrated during one of those sessions and you're listening constantly. And I guess the word that comes up for me is feedback. Mm. How do you notice the feedback when you say, oh, that's release? Like, what is that like to you when you actually notice the fascia releasing? And what does that do when it does?
Yeah, great questions. Can I use you as an example? Is that okay? Yeah. So if we take, so you're what's called hypermobile. So you're quite flexible. So flexibility comes very easy to you. The hamstrings were very long and the glutes were very long, but the quads were actually quite short and tight due to your anterior tip. So when we first palpated the quads and touched the quads, they were like rock hard. They were solid. They needed to be broken up because at the moment they were taking way too much load than the back line of the body. So what it feels like to me when I first touch tissue that needs to be palpated, it feels quite stuck. It feels, the term I would use is sticky. And when I really, what's the word I'm looking for there? Sink. When I sink into the fascia and I glide across it, I can feel those little strands and those little fibers unwinding. So without that manual therapy technique, and without taking a ball to the area, because of course there's self-applied manual therapy techniques that we can do, those quads are never actually going to move. So we can stretch them all we want and eventually we'll get them within our normal range. but it's actually the hands-on manual therapy technique of skin to skin, my breath to your breath, feeling and unwinding as we go, because it's a two-part system. In order for your quads to release, there has to be a certain amount of trust, and the nervous system comes into it, of course, because you have to be willing to let me go into that. And then there's the mental emotional aspect to that as well, because you have to be willing to let go of the things that are you're holding on to within that particular area of your life as well. And then also the other side to it is the individual actually ready to get out of pain? That's the other question. That might be the deeper question, and maybe we can segue there a little bit later on in the podcast. But is the individual actually ready to get out of pain? That's a really big one, because then they have to step into their truth, and they have to step into everything they could be, and they're not in pain anymore, and they're not the archetype of the victim, and they actually have to go act out who they are in the world, and that's daunting. And that's challenging sometimes.
I think we should go there now. Let's talk about pain. They reckon so many people, I don't know what the percentages of the world, but most people will experience pain, and probably back pain in particular, throughout their life at some point. What is your belief then around that? If that's a normal part, is that part of a spiritual realm, that of human suffering, in order to experience the realm of what it is to be human?
Well, I do believe pain is inevitable. I just believe we choose our pain in life, because I read this beautiful book. I'm not sure if you've heard of the author before, Ryan Holiday, and he wrote a book called The Obstacle is the Way. And in the book, he talks about how humans, you know, we have this ability almost to, like, we see a problem and it's in front of us, and okay, I'm not going to go down that road anymore because I've got an obstacle and it's in my way. I believe no matter who you are, like, there's a good chance if you're on this earth for a certain period of time, you're going to encounter pain. You just have to decide what type of pain it is that you would like to encounter. I guess, like, what I would really like to touch on is the fact that not all pain is physical, not all pain is spiritual, not all pain is mental, and not all pain is emotional, but all pain is always intertwined within those four bodies of wellness.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that then, because when I think about all pain, there is so many different outs. Can you just tell me in physical, spiritual, did you say mental?
And emotional.
And emotional. Yeah. So when we think about that, most of us will experience physical pain, whether it's just a little bit of lactic acid after going for a walk or a run. Stub your toe, check your toe on the corner of the bed, all of that. We know that pain. Many people may not understand their spiritual pain, but that can be related to all sorts of realms in the quantum physical realm, the spiritual realm, religious realm. There could be some sort of definite, I understand that. Mental pain can lead to exhaustion, and also maybe feeling like you're not getting it right, or maybe trying to do too much, whatever. The brain gets very tired. And then, of course, emotional pain. There is nothing worse, in my humble opinion, than heartache or heartbreak when it comes to things like that. Is that when you're looking or feeling someone's fascia, and I know this is a bit of a woohoo question, but do you tap into which one that is? Can you feel that? And is it then your line of questioning that allows the person to release that? Like, it's a very specialized kind of work that you do that has very deep root causes and realms. So how do you work within those four areas?
It's definitely challenging, because you have to meet the person where they're at. And you have to see what they're willing to go through on that day. Okay, so that's it. Like, where is the person's energy on that day, and what have they got the energy to release, and what that have they got the energy to go through? Because fascia, if you really think about it, it's like it has to be done in stages. We have all of these different types of slings. Like, if I love using this one on podcast, because it's a great analogy, but we have what's called superficial backline, right? So that's fascia that runs from the bottom of the foot right up through the calf, back of the hamstrings, up erector spinae, all the way through the occiput, and finishes at the epicranial at the top of the head. So through dissections, we've actually found that the body is completely interconnected, and that if we pull the bottom of the foot, it has a relationship to the top of the head. Wow, who knew? So when I'm working with people, it's all based on their energy, and it's all based on, and where I'm at for the day as well. Like, if I've had six clients for the day, right, we'll have a discussion, we'll see what's holding them back, we'll see what needs to be worked, and we'll come up with a game plan together. I'll always take into consideration what the client's objectives are. So is it like, are they coming to me and they're more on the physical and they don't really believe in the mental emotional? Or are they all woo-woo? Because we all know people like this, hey, right, Kim? Like, you know, you meet the people and they throw everything in the spiritual box. Everything is spiritual and everything's about manifestation, but there's no work or there's no action to it. And so you really, in some sense, like you see where they're at and you see what they need. With the mental side of things, I think is a really difficult one along with the emotional, because if you really think of the spiritual, when I talk to most people about this sort of stuff, it's like most people don't, unfortunately in today's day and age, and we touched on it before, most people don't have a spiritual connection to themselves. Most people don't take 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes a day to sit down, close their eyes and, you know, see what's going on inside. No, not many people actually take the time to actually get to know themselves. And part of my work and part of when I really get down to the core of what it is that I do, I use my hands like I've been trained how to do. I feel into their body and together we work in unison and we work through what it is that is actually holding that person back to then take them towards the next stage, because it's not always physical and it's not always spiritual and it's not always mental and it's definitely not always emotional. You just have to choose and pick what is best suited towards that client. And for me, I have to take my ego out of it as well sometimes. It's not about me, it's about the person. It's about what's going to best suit them throughout the rest of their day.
One of the trickiest things as a mentor and coach is the element of mind reading, thinking you know the client or you know what they're thinking and feeling. I really like what you're saying there about the ego, that one of the greatest skills that comes about as a practitioner like yourself, or I did remedial massage for many, many years, was to actually not talk, not give my thoughts, but to listen, and to listen with your hands and to listen with a real beautiful big heart, so that you know your client, you have the absolute best intentions for your client and you believe in them more often than they do. Is that something that you have a real strong opinion around, that you often will believe more in the client than they do themselves?
Absolutely. Yeah, because the idea is that you want to see goodness in everyone. And back to that from an anatomy perspective, like, isn't that beautiful? The fact that the human body was designed with one mouth but two ears. So wouldn't that say to us that we're actually designed to listen more than we actually are to speak? So Susie Neville, who's one of course, you know, and one of our mentors in the Czech faculty, I've done my IMS2 training under her, IMS3 training under, just phenomenal individual and human being. She would say to me, if you listen enough, the client will tell you the answer. It'll tell you what it is that they're actually looking for. Because we all know that, like, we all have that intelligence, that innate divinity within us to actually understand. And we know what's going on. We just have to get out of the way and then the work does the work for us.
Wow, that's a big call. If you listen enough, the client will tell you. And often we as humans underestimate our innate intelligence, our innate knowing, and we get bombarded by other people's opinions or medications or the fads that are out there. You're reminding me of the importance of reminding everyone listening to this of their incredible, amazing intelligence and the body's ability to always consistently try and reach homeostasis. I think what's so powerful in the work that you do is that it's subtle and yet it's incredibly deep and powerful. How can something so subtle as touching and working on someone's fascia at a superficial kind of level, if you think about it when you say it like that, yet go so deep and become so profound for you and the client receiving the work? How does that make you feel knowing you're doing this?
You know, truthfully, I don't think it's about me. I think it's about the client, and I'm just a conduit for the work. That's actually how I feel. Like, it's actually not about me whatsoever. I just truly believe that I was put here to help people. To what capacity, I'm still working that out along the way. I think with the fascia side of things, to circle back to your question, I think they're ready. And that's really what it comes down to. Like, they're ready for it. It's crazy for me to think, like, on the Sunshine Coast, the next person that you would have to go and see for the fascia work that I do is Toowoomba or the Gold Coast. Like, it's a long way away. So I think, like, the individual is actually ready for that change. They're ready for that transformation. They're ready for that next step. And quite frankly, they're probably just fed up with pain, because pain is always trying to tell us something. Pain is always communicating. The body is always communicating to us what is going on the inside. It's just whether we have the ability to actually understand its language and stop and think. And that's tying back in the foundations that we spoke about before when we started the podcast. Like, if you're eating McDonald's 3 days a week and, you know, you're not getting adequate sleep and your thoughts are off, of course, because your input's off, and you've got all of these disturbances that are coming into the body, how can you ever come in towards your truth, and how can you ever come in towards your own understanding of what's going on?
Like, well, this is huge, because when I look at this and listen to this, you're actually asking us as individuals to take a damn good look in the mirror, really.
I am, yeah.
And you're inviting us to actually meet us at a whole new level. And what I love about this is you just said, you know, I think there's that line, something about when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah.
And there's never any accident. So let's just, I just, because you brought it up, if you're available, you're the only one on the Sunshine Coast, the Gold Coast, Toowoomba. Are there practitioners all over Australia and New Zealand, do you know?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, all over Australia and New Zealand. You actually just jump on the Anatomy Trains website, and they've got the directory in there with all of the different practitioners and where they're located.
Okay, Anatomy Trains, is that .com?
.com, yeah.
I'll have a look. I'll put that into the show notes for everybody. I think it's really important, because people listening to this who have had all sorts of pain for a long period of time, maybe now, and there's no accident that they're listening to you right this minute, maybe now it's time to go to that deeper level or that more open level and find the real you, if you're daring and ready for it. You know, all this work and the six foundations and everything that you talk about, in my humble opinion, when we focus on those six areas, when we're really committed to ourselves, our longevity, our health span, it really is all acts of self-love. What is self-love in your humble opinion?
Self-love is taking responsibility for yourself. Yeah, and your choices and all that you create in your life. That's what self-love is to me. It's taking ownership for who you are in every given moment.
This is powerful. And in doing so, we get to really honor ourselves. When you see someone come, is that something? I feel like it's the missing link. And maybe, in my humble opinion, those six foundations are actually part of what I'd call self-love. Ultimately, when you work with someone, you're teaching them to love themselves, to love the parts of them, the pain, which is a signal, and the body's way of talking to the person. But also, too, it's a fundamental way of being really confronted with oneself. Like, I know for me, the back pain has been so extreme at times. I found myself in tears. I found myself, you know, in the fetal position on the floor, questioning why. And then when I come out of that little pity party and actually sit in a very humble space of pure love, I then ask my back what it needs from me. And that is what led me to seeing you guys and the Corrective Culture Boys, to really help my posture, my alignment, but also to release maybe pains and traumas. I'm someone who's done a heck of a lot of work on themselves and studied a lot, but we're ever learning, we're ever growing, and we're ever finding little bits. That's why I believe mentors, coaches, therapists, hands-on therapists, all of us, there's never any doubt there's enough work for us, because we are all going through those. What does Peter do to take care of himself? How does he make sure he's the best practitioner for everyone that comes along? Because you're seeing 20-odd people a week. That's a lot of energy.
A lot of energy, definitely. So I try and adhere. I try and do what I teach. Yeah, that would be the easiest way to describe how I look after myself. Like, I actually take ownership of the things that I teach, and I implement them myself. So you'll see me most weeks at the farmer's market or Greensmith Grocer at Canara buying spray-free food. You'll see me at the butchers buying grass-fed meat and organic meat. You'll see me filling up my water bottles and getting spring water. You'll see me down at the beach getting my first light, putting my toes on the sand, just connecting to the earth, just connecting to yourself, spending time where you can actually just get to know yourself on a deeper level, because all of these practices take you within. You know, like, we didn't even dive into this, but like, I used to be a yoga teacher, so that, you know, like stretching, lifting weights, jiu-jitsu, surfing, practices that bring me and invite me back into myself. That's how I take care of myself and look after myself.
Have you ever had any dark moments, times when you've really questioned yourself, sat there in a heap wondering what the hell you're to do next? Or, and if so, if you don't mind sharing, what did you do to get out of that?
So I spoke about this a little bit the other day. I actually had such a smooth sailing 20s, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't really have too many dark things go wrong. I didn't have too many hiccups. Of course, we all overcome adversity, but essentially it was, I went and traveled and had all of these amazing experiences and then come back to the Sunshine Coast. When I'd hit 30, I was in a jiu-jitsu competition, and 10 seconds into the match, I've been training and practicing since 2009. He pulled guard and essentially his knee hit my seventh anterior rib, cracked it, and dislocated the rib completely. The fascia and the costal cartilage then moved 3 centimeters over. And that process through the hospital and then rehabbing with the breath, and anyone who's been through any type of long-term rib injuries knows how painful that is. That took me about 18 months of some of the darkest times in my life. I mean, I've spoken about it on podcasts before, but really going through that dark night of the soul and really coming to, because I think what the universe was, and if I'm to really go into that, I think what the universe was really asking me is, oh, if you want the capacity to go and help, and I don't really like to use the word heal, but facilitate the healing process with other people, and you want to do this with your life and you feel you're called to do this, then this is your thing to go through. And you know what, Kim, like, since going through that and since going through my own journey and understanding of my own body and doing the things that I ask clients to do, I have so much more empathy and so much more compassion and so much more understanding when clients come in to see me. I'm so grateful now for that experience and all that it taught me.
They say we teach what we need to learn the most.
Yeah.
And I think doing the work that we all do keeps us accountable. You have to walk the talk, and most people would see through that. We are our antennae is up as human beings for fakenessity. That's a new word. But anything that's not real and true. And I really appreciate and respect you saying that, because as much as you just have said it in a couple of sentences, that was 18 months of a massive journey. Pain really does reduce us to being little girls and boys at times.
It does.
I heard an acronym once. PAIN stands for pay attention, integrate now. And
beautiful.
I think it's a really powerful way that the body, if you've got any kind of pain, whether it's a migraine, toothache, back pain, heartache, pay attention, integrate now. It's calling you to do the work. It's calling of you. Whereas when we take over-the-counter medications, and this isn't to say I'm knocking medications, because sometimes we need the bridge, the space, the gap. But I think sometimes it's really interesting to note that one of my beautiful mentors and therapists, French lady in her 90s, always said to me, you have to feel it to heal it. She was French. And sometimes the medications, whilst it gives us a brief reprieve from it, at some point we're going to have to acknowledge the pain. At some point we have to work on ourselves. At some point it calls us so deeply that we're confronted with it. How do you recommend people work with that? Because it's pretty scary if trauma from a childhood comes up, or if a sense of not being good enough, or our confidence gets blown, or we don't feel like we're worthy. Like, how would you recommend your kind of work would support someone to get through those feelings?
So big feedback that I get, and tying back into the anatomy trains and fascia work, is people actually feel quite uneasy 2 days after, or not always, I shouldn't use that term, often if people are holding something and are finally ready to let it go. So use the diaphragm, for instance, and we know the heart, so think of organ structure under the diaphragm, its relationship to the heart and everything like that. As we're moving underneath the rib cage, the heart's then automatically coming back into alignment. So we know, and we've spoken about that on the podcast so far, about the spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional. But essentially, I just think it comes back to the simple fact that they're ready to go through it. And a quote while you were just talking then that actually come to mind, and it's something that I really hugged and held close to me when I was going through my experience, is the only way out is through. Mm-hmm. And that took me a long time to digest. Maybe that one took me about 12 months to digest, but the only way out is through. So if we use, for instance, like if someone's going through a mental emotional aspect and we tie that back to the rib cage, you know, I'm fascially releasing the diaphragm so then the heart can pump correctly, the individual is still having to go through that. They're not having to go around it. And that's why I love that quote that your mentor said before, you have to feel it to heal it. Like, that is beautiful, because there's truth in that. And we know that you don't get to go around something and then come back and revisit it another day and then expect that, oh, well, the work's done and on to the next thing. It's funny, you know, the body works the same way as well. Like the same thing works for, say, like an MCL injury, where say someone's torn their MCL, they actually have to go back in towards the pain to eventually send the collagen fibers into it to heal it. So from a mental perspective and emotional perspective, we know from a therapeutic perspective, we need to go back and do it through conversation. We need to go back into it from a loading perspective, because that's what the body's asking us. And then we have to go back into it from a feeling perspective. So it's almost as if no matter what arena we look at going back into the thing that we're afraid of, almost all avenues lead towards that one road.
Oh, it's so true, so true. I think, though, you know, this sort of reminds me of Dr. Bruce Lipton's work and Louise Hay and beautiful Ina Segal. Like, this is all about you. Your body is a map. It's telling you, it's talking to you. Do you believe in that kind of work, that emotional stuff gets hidden in the fascia, gets hidden in the body? That person about the knee, I think knees are about flexibility and rigidity. I know for me, lower back keeps stemming back to support, financial support, feeling like the weight of the world is on us. And yeah, I really have to look at that and really am doing some deep work around that, because it's interesting what the conscious mind thinks. The unconscious mind is overriding that always. So how would you invite someone to open up to that unconscious part of us that maybe doesn't even know what we don't even know?
That's a brilliant question, because I guess the body always keeps score, right? Like, the body's always holding, and it's always keeping track of where we're at, keeping tally. You know, I think you have, because that's going to be a very individual question, right? I guess the question there is like what tools can people use to go into what they're afraid of? I think that's where seeking out some type of a therapist or some type of a practitioner can really help and really guide you. Here's another thing that I really want to elaborate on as well. Nothing ever gets solved within a single session. So if you're listening to this in the future and you think that, you know, there's just going to be this person and I'm going to go for my 60, 90-minute session and dust my hands off and away we go, I'm sorry, life does not work like that. I actually ask people to undertake the journey for a year. And that isn't necessarily with me. That's not working. That might be coming to see me once a week, once a fortnight. But truthfully, the biggest changes that I see are when people fully go into like some type of a long-term commitment towards themselves. Yeah, it should never be a short thing like, okay, I'm going to get rid of this vice so then I can go back to my old ways. It's creating the new. It's creating the new way in which life is asking you to interact with the world. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think what's so powerful here, you saying 12 months, I'll never forget beautiful Jacqueline saying to us, whatever challenge we were going through, she'd say in her beautiful French accent, you know, give it four seasons. So she would never so say good. 1 year, she would say four seasons, because yes, her belief was that each season we are different in different seasons. And she said some people are great in summer and some people are great in spring. And if you're trying to work on a relationship issue, you know, you may not have the same thinking as your partner. And often we don't, because that's why we're attracted to them. And so I find that fascinating too, that I love that. Have a long-term commitment to yourself. It's not an overnight thing that's caused you to create the problem in the first place. So to unwind that, we need to give the body time. But us as humans, we're very big on quick fix. We're very big on quick, get this out of the way so I can move on with my life. Mm-hmm. If we choose to keep ignoring it, it will keep representing itself, won't it?
It will. Yeah. This is where cancer comes up. This is where illnesses come up. You know, you touched on it a little bit before, but things like if we tie that back to, because for me, it's just not about Western medicine, but it's not just about Eastern medicine as well. It's about tying the two worlds together. And so it's that awareness, like we touched on and we spoke about earlier, even if we look at that from an energy center or a chakra point of view, and we know that you take the root chakra, for instance, it's the color red and it's associated with safety, security, tribal association, you know, the ability to actually feel at home. And we move up a center and it's more sacral, so it's more so about sexuality and creativity, and moving up from there is personal power, so more so on like the solar plex, like willpower and desire and stepping out into the world and actually becoming the person that you were destined to be regardless of judgment and things like that. And that's how the worlds for me really tie together. That's where not everything's physical and not everything's spiritual either. And I know from work, because I've been in this world for quite some time now, I think you'll be hard-pressed just to find one single person that's going to help you do all the work for you. Like, I don't know about your life's journey so far, but there's always a mentor or a therapist or a practitioner that plays a certain role or a certain part in your journey at that unique period of time. And they come in at that perfect period of time. And then when the work's done and then when they've uncovered everything that you possibly could with that person, then you go and you rest for a little bit, or maybe it's time to work with the next person. And that's how healing takes place, because that's how attraction works. We're attracted towards certain healers and certain things. And yeah, that's the easiest way to put it. Like, allow your curiosity to really guide you there. If you feel called to work with someone, then there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah. And also too, the therapists that you end up coming across, a lot of them are so brilliant because not only have they studied in it, but it's usually through their own pain or their own experiences that has called them to do the work in order to become trained in it. And often the life experience, regardless of the training, is one of the most powerful tools that you mentioned at the beginning, which has allowed you to have more empathy, more compassion, more understanding of someone else's pain. I also love the fact that you're not there to fix it for them. They are the healer. We're the conduit. We are the people that ask or invite them to look at their own selves. And I think that's where you can get someone so beautiful. And not all therapists are equal. And that's where some people go, oh, no, I've seen a kinesiologist or I've seen a massage therapist and I've seen a, you know, whatever, and it didn't work. What would you recommend with that? Because sometimes we do get led wrongly, if that's the right word. There's never any mistakes, I know that. But it's not always the right thing when we're there, and then we can create a judgment around that. What would you say to that?
Yeah, and I guess you won't know unless you go as well, right? Like, and this is where finding other people that have maybe worked with that practitioner or therapist, I think, can be really helpful if they're willing to share their experiences. There's no right, no wrong there, because I think there's always going to be times where you go with sessions for people, and we've all been in that position before. And it, you know, I think of a general massage, for instance. You go, you book in your massage 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're like, okay, I'll just unwind afterwards. You get up and it's like, oh, it wasn't all that I expected. And maybe you don't go back there and you find somewhere new next time. It doesn't mean that you take it out on all massage therapists. It just means that you find one that suits your DNA and where you're at this stage in your life and this season of your life. You know, Chris Klesser is one of the anatomy trains lecturers in Toowoomba, and he has a practice there. I can't remember his practice, and I trained under him for levels 1 and 2. And he has this brilliant quote that I don't think I'll ever forget, where he essentially holds his hands up. So if you imagine, I've got my hands up at the moment, if you're listening, and he's created a big circle with his hands, and he says, all of these modalities, so yoga, remedial massage, kinesiology, chiropractor, physio, anatomy, transfascial work, Czech practitioner, you name it, they all deserve a seat at the healing table.
That's so beautiful.
They all deserve a seat at the healing table. How beautiful is that?
Oh.
And when you really stop and you really think about that, what that says to me is, okay, well, just because yoga worked for that person doesn't then mean it works for everyone. Just because this person had a negative kinesiology experience with this practitioner doesn't mean you throw the whole modality in the bin and we're done with kinesiology. They all deserve a seat because they all play their part at the time that they're meant to for each of us. That's why they're a modality and that's why we pay for them. That's how we deem them as valuable.
Yeah, I think that's the key to the value of which someone gives and receives. Money is the only real one of the biggest main transference of that energy and respect. But we also know that that transference of respect can come in many different forms and ways. And I think when I have a client or if I have a student that comes into one of my programs, that's won the receiving of the, you know, the to receive the program either for free or at a very low cost, the right person shows up for that and there's a real deep appreciation. I know money becomes a beautiful exchange and value on that. How else do you deem it powerful to receive and feel open to giving that transference of energy in the way that we value these modalities at the table?
That's a great question. Absolutely. Because for me, it extends beyond money. Like it's so much deeper than money. Money isn't, it doesn't even come into it for me, you know, and that's for anyone who's really willing to make a career change. Like if money's the driving factor, then there's a good chance you're making the wrong decision. You know, money should never be our driving factor because at the deepest part of ourselves, it's like we're spiritual beings. And when I really dive into my work and what it is that I do, it's like I'm handing part of my spirit and part of my knowledge and part of my expertise over towards that person. So then they can do what they wish with it. Yeah, it's a very
it's a big one, isn't it? Because it's a,
yeah,
I also
very
know
big one.
That money is such a big driver for all of us because it does give us choice and freedom and lifestyle and all of those things. It's just a very
Oh, I was just going to say about money because I think a lot of, especially in today's age, of course, people fix on it, but I'll try and tie this story together as quickly as I can. It is about money. So when I first become an electrician, before I become an electrician, you know, the little expos, you're like grade 10, maybe you're 15 and they take you towards and they show you what concreting is with your hands. And this is if you go become a bricklayer when you get older, this is what you do. And if you're an electrician, this is what you do. And when we got to the electrical stand, someone had mentioned like, oh, well, electricians can earn up to $120 an hour. And I was 14, 15 at this time. And I was like, okay, well, maybe that's something that I would like to do in this lifetime, make $120 an hour, because that for me when I was a 14-year-old boy was a lot of money. And so when I was 17, the time had come round and I applied for my apprenticeship and there was 140 people in my district that applied and I ended up getting the position, which was amazing. I worked the entire 4 years, finished my trade, ended up going and traveling the world in my 20s, coming home and working for so many different big companies, Rio Tinto, BHP, Santos, and I was making stupid, ridiculous amounts of money. And what was beautiful about that is life really asked me at 27, is money more important or is purpose and something that's really deep inside of you more important? And I had to sit with that for quite a number of months and okay, like long-term, what am I actually going to be happier in this position? And the answer was no. And so I left money and I really allowed my heart to really lead the way in that decision. And, you know, looking back, Kim, on my life in the last 5 years since making that decision, I've come into far more abundance and far more opportunities. And life has unraveled for me in so many mysterious and wonderful ways than I would have ever imagined than if I would have just stayed stuck and I stayed there just because of money, because of that choice.
Love this, because where I was really trying to get with this is that money is important. We know that. But when you can have a very open-hearted mindset around health, healing, abundance, connection, all of those big words that are actually very high values for many of us, it's amazing how you end up achieving or receiving money. And I just was so glad that you said that, because for many people, I know a lot of very broke therapists who say money isn't their driver. But as a coach, as a mentor, I have to remind them that money is also gives them access way for their family to have, whether it's a holiday or a home or a car or put petrol or food on the table or choice to go to the markets as opposed to the supermarket. And so I'm very grateful that you've actually addressed that, because it does extend beyond the word money. And I love that word abundance. And you have a very open heart and beautiful open way of acknowledging that in your sessions. And I just want to say thank you for being the soul that you are, because abundance does come with expertise and knowledge. When we look at the amount of money we spend to become qualified in these areas, I think it's really important for all modalities to be respected and honored and revered in a monetary or an exchange value of product to product. And that's where I love people who, you know, we do contras sometimes in business that can have the same beautiful energy exchange, the amount of beautiful prizes that I donate to places. That is my way of giving to charities and to organizations. So it might not be money, but it's products. Or I'll give my time as an exchange for a charitable organization. And that feels like a beautiful exchange, especially when it's valued and revered in return. Is there a question I should have asked you that I haven't asked you yet around what you do and what you give?
Yeah, well, actually, I was just actually going to tie that whole conversation into a little bundle and say, so now the work that I'm actually doing, because my capacity to work on a one-on-one basis has really hit its limit and it's hit its floor in the last 6 months to a year. I've helped as many people as I possibly could, but life's really asked me to step up and step into that next chapter and that next stage. So myself and a good friend of mine, we've actually created a company. And our company is aimed at businesses around Australia. And the businesses that we're aiming at are FIFO, drive-in, drive-out, corporate, pretty much anything that we've spoken about today on a foundational level. The next stage of our life is really going to be educating the masses on this, because I truly believe that the world needs this right now and the world is screaming for it right now. I find it so fascinating that we're in a stage of our life where we've built companies that are worth billions and billions of dollars, but they don't take the individual into consideration and their own needs and their own health. And so that's what's really calling me at the moment. That's really is what's calling to come through me. And I'm really excited to start offering that. So that'll actually be live in the next 2 months, which is super exciting. So we've named that Shifter.
Oh, how do I spell that?
S-H-F-T-R. So that's just the abbreviation. Yeah.
Love it. Oh, that's so bougie.
I'm just so passionate and so excited about this next step as well. It feels so right. It just feels like, this is what's needed. And, you know, when I was an electrician, and I left and I made that decision and I chose my heart over money, I always said I was going to come back. I always said, these are the industries that need it. Tradies are some of my favorite people on the planet to work with, because they're sometimes the fathers of their household. They carry the whole weight of the world on their shoulders, you know. It's like people really need this work and they respond well to this work. So I can't wait to get it out there in the next 6 months.
I want to say congratulations, because you did right. And when you tap into your, and this is something I'd love the listeners to really hear, when you tap into your own true purpose and true meaning of why you're here, you don't have to think about the next step. It presents itself and it comes. And you know that with that excitement, it feeling right. I know for myself, creating programs, any of the mentoring that I do and group things, it's amazing. Just at the beginning of this year, I had one focus on one program all year. And three nights ago, I had a dream and I just woke up and went, oh my gosh, I've got to redo this whole thing and do it this way and relaunch this old program that I had, but bring it up to speed with what I've learned over the last 6 years.
Wow.
And I just got so excited. And that's when I went, oh my gosh, because I was stuck. I was feeling stuck about releasing another thing that I was doing, but this just totally lit me up. And as you said, got me excited and felt so right.
Amazing.
I want to thank you for all the work that you do, for all of the stuff that you present, and really am excited to keep on this journey with you and the Corrective Culture Boys. I feel very humbled and very grateful for all of your support as I go through these little things that I'm having to deal with personally myself. So I just want to publicly acknowledge you and thank you for your knowledge, your intellect, your emotional and spiritual connection. And I feel very safe. And I think that's probably what many of us going through different pain levels, we want to feel safe and that we can trust the people that we're working with. So kudos to you. I'll make sure, just so people could follow you now before Shifter comes out, how do we follow you and where can we get in touch with you if someone's listening to this and go, he's the one? Do you do Zoom sessions?
I don't actually offer Zoom. I do prefer working with people. If you're local to the Sunshine Coast, and of course we have people that travel interstate to come and see us as well, which is amazing. Or if they're within driving distance, I try and go face-to-face when I can. But how people can connect is Pete Klarisich, and that's just at Instagram. I'm on Facebook as well. And
just spell Pete Klarisich for us.
Is PETEKLARISICH.
See, listener, I knew you'd need to hear that one again, but I will put it in the show notes for you. But yes, that's on Instagram, Facebook
as well. That's on Instagram, Facebook as well. And that's most of my social media. If you'd like a session with me, just send me a message through one of my social media accounts. I actually mentioned to Kim at the start of our podcast, I actually had to take away my booking system just because it got a little bit too out of control. So if anything I've spoken about today really resonates with you and you feel like you're ready to take that next step, that's where you can find me.
And beyondholistics.com.au.
Beyondholistics.com.au. Yeah,
thank you.
Information as well.
If there was a final message for this beautiful listener, someone who is already on the path of looking out for themselves, learning more about themselves, being in touch with themselves, they are an incredible soul who listens to this show. What would your final message be to the beautiful Self-Love Podcast listener? And maybe you could include your favorite quote. I know we've had a few, but maybe there's another one.
I know, I've got so many. Okay, so there's one from Joseph Campbell, and it goes, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek." The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. So I used to talk about this one a little bit during my yoga classes, and that's just been so true for me along the way. I look at all of the choices and all the decisions that I've had to make in my life, and that really rings true. I've found so much treasure in my life from going into those dark places and just really sinking and living in all of the beauty that lives in that as well. Like with the cave, it's like, that's you, that's your life. That's the things that you're avoiding. Everything you want, all of your desires, all of your wants, all of your wishes, it's on the other side of that.
They often say to shine the light in there and you'll realize it's not as dark as you thought.
Yeah, amazing.
And beautiful Rumi, what does she say? Or they say in that quote, the light is where the wound, something about the light and the wound. It's something incredible. It's quite beautiful.
So many
and
good
profound.
Rumi ones.
It's so powerful.
How beautiful are quotes when you find them and they hit home at that right time.
Oh, look, I tell you, and something that I've loved today, especially about your messaging today, you know, when you look at those six foundations that you've learned through CHECK, when you look at the work that you've done leading up to who you are and what you're doing today, I did have one final question for you. And you don't have to answer it because it's quite personal. But you did mention about your rib, and the rib is holding over the diaphragm and the heart. Mm. I did want to just ask you, was there something heart-related, emotional that you were going through at the same time just by coincidence?
That, you know, there actually was, and that is divine timing. So here is the wonderful Susie Neville again. About 12 to 18 months ago, when I was completing my IMS2 under her, and she pulled me aside in a room, and she said, you know, rib injuries are often correlated to unprocessed death in the family. And I had actually lost my granddad not long before that. And I actually didn't process that fully and completely to the capacity in which I should have at that time. And so that was my own journey, my own understanding there. So yeah, it absolutely did.
Yeah, I was curious about that. The quote is too, the wound is the place where the light enters you.
Oh,
and that's where beautiful. I was like, oh, wow, your heart, your rib, the light, you opened it, you actually dove into it, you went into the cave and spent a lot of time and money and effort on yourself, which is the ultimate act of self-love. And that's why I love therapists and practitioners and all those modalities at the healing table. I so love that line. Thank you. Thank you so much for being our light and just for being the amazing human that you are. I'm so excited to showcase you and share all of your work and hopefully open up for all of you beautiful practitioners that do this work. Thank you for giving us a place where people can find their local one. I'll make sure that's all in the show notes. I'll put all of your socials in there. And listener, I would highly recommend that you follow this beautiful human. Pete, thank you so much for being on the Self Love Podcast.
Thanks so much, Kim. Wonderful conversation. I really enjoyed it today.
Thanks for listening to the Self Love Podcast. Be sure to write a review and share the love with your friends and family. And head over and visit Kim and her team at 28.com. That's the word 20 and the number 8.com. Take good care.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.